Last week, I had an unexpected funeral, and I was asked to preach at a funeral home for this funeral. Didn't expect it, and was a bit surprised to hear about the young lady who had passed, because she was so young. And I did preach the funeral for this young lady, and was sad to see her son, 12 years old, crying, and her other son, and they looked like lost sheep. I did arrange to get them to church. I hope they made it today, but pray for that family. But I want to share with you, and please hear the words of our Lord in Luke 15, verses 4 through 7, and I'll share it with you right now. This is what the Lord said. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I want to say to you this morning, we're a lot like sheep. And the Lord is the good shepherd. And we are human beings, but we tend to wander away from the shepherd and from the sheep of the shepherd. And when we do, we get lost in this wilderness called the world that we're living in right now. I'm saying this morning to each one of you here, you're like sheep. And each one of you has at one time turned away from your Creator and been lost in this wilderness. But I'm here to tell you the good news. The Lord Jesus is seeking you out to save you, just as a shepherd seeks to save one lost sheep. Right. I remember going to church years ago, being the pastor of the church, and we were up there on Wayne Avenue. I remember getting our family and going home, and my parents were there, and we all got home, and we got home on Providence Road to our house at 1125 Providence at the time, and we did a head count and realized I had 6 kids and in-laws and outlaws, and we left one child behind. Now, we were going to have dinner and do this and do that and do the other thing. Can you imagine? Nothing was important at that point except getting that child back. Amen. And we got back there, and thankfully we rescued the child and got her back. I'd hate to say that never happened again, but it happened one other time, but we don't have time to talk about it. But we rescued that one too. I'm saying to you that I also remember as a pastor seeking many lost sheep who've been wandering in the wilderness of this world, and people need the Lord. And seeking to get these people to Jesus and to get them saved and into the family of God. And at this church, I have, ever since I became pastor here 46 years ago, I have tried to train people to go out and help me find lost sheep and bring them in. You know, we could just have church and have a good time and enjoy fried chicken just for a few people. But no, that's not what the Lord is. That's not how he is. He's a shepherd that when he knows there are lost sheep out there, he wants to bring them in. Right. And that's what we're doing. You know, I used to have a dog. His name was Gunner. He was my youngest daughter's dog, and she named him after her fiance who had fought in the war in the Middle East. And that little dog was a pug dog. How many have ever had a pug dog? Now, I use a pug dog because he looked like a little sheep, but he had teeth, you know. He was funny. But that little pug dog would always run away. He loved me, I guess, because I gave him treats. I'd go, "Tweet!" And whenever I said, "Tweet!" He'd run, no matter where he was, right to me and look up, and I'd drop the treat and he'd get it in the air before it even hit the ground. His name was Gunner. But if you let him go for one moment without a leash, he's going to run away. And we had to chase that dog down so many times, I can't even tell you. I remember one particular time, the dog pound got him. You know what the dog pound is. Animal rescue? They're not animal rescue, they're animal execute. They get him and kill him. And so I looked all over, couldn't find him. I went to animal, quote, rescue, and there he was in a cage trembling. And I said, Gunner, why do you keep running away? Look how you wound up. And he looked up at me and said, it's just my nature. I run away. So I said, well, I'm here to get my dog. They said, you're going to have to pay for it. I'm like, what? So I took the money out and I paid for my own dog. And they gave him back to me. Gunner was a runner. You know, that's the way you and I are as far as God. We run away from God when we run away from His commandments. You don't break yourself. You don't break God's commandments, I mean to say. You break yourself when you break God's commandments. And we've all gone away. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. His own way of what? Sinning. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be fornication or all of the above. It may be this. It may be that. But everybody has sinned against God. And everybody is away from God. Because when you sin, you walk away from God. When you go against his word. But I'm here to tell you that this relates to your being sought and saved personally. The Lord is a personal shepherd. He knows your name and he's seeking you. When Adam got away and sinned against God and disobeyed God by eating of the forbidden fruit, you know the story. God went to Adam and he goes, Adam, where art thou? Now God knew where he was, but Adam was hiding from God. Listen to me, you're here today because you've been hiding from God, many of you, but God brought you here. Right. You thought you were here for maybe fried chicken Sunday, but you're here because the shepherd is seeking you. Right. And he said that he'll leave the 99 in the wilderness to go out into the wilderness to find that one lost sheep that is out there. And when Adam, you know, when God told Adam, where art thou? Adam had aprons on made of fig leaves, and they didn't even cover his backside, and they didn't cover his nakedness. And so God took the fig leaves off him, and he was naked as a jaybird standing in front of God, trembling like my gunner. God said, now this is going to cost something. I have to take an innocent lamb. And he killed that lamb right in front of Adam. Slit his throat and the blood just gushed out. And then he took the skins of that lamb and slathered it over Adam's body and over Eve's naked body and covered their nakedness. And God was saying, because you've wandered away from the shepherd, because he's a good shepherd, he's not only a shepherd, but he's got to be a sheep, a lamb, and he's got to give his life, even though he's innocent, to pay for your sins. And that's what the Lord Jesus is, a good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. He died on that cross. His blood was shed so that he could wash your sins away, and you could be Snow White, and you could be innocent even though you sin, and he could take and clothe you with the perfect righteousness that he has so that you will be acceptable to God and you can live in God's house forever. And that's why Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Wow. I think of a woman that had a hemorrhage of blood for over a decade. She went to doctors and nobody could cure her. The Lord was walking and a crowd of people was around him. Whenever Jesus was on earth, there was crowds of people around him, and they wanted something from him. And she wanted something from him. You know what you should want from Jesus today? To have your sins forgiven. So you can go to heaven. You say, well, how do I get that? Well, what happened to that woman? She wanted that blood to stop. She'd spent all her money on doctors. They didn't help her. She pushed her way through the crowd, pushed her way through all those people. It took her a while, but finally she got to Jesus. And she said, if I can just touch his garment, just touch his robe, I'll be healed. She got her hand and touched his robe, and immediately she was healed. The blood stopped. The hemorrhage stopped. She was healed. And at that moment when she did that, although there was a crowd of people around Jesus, he said, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, Lord, there's everybody touching you. What are you talking about? There's a crowd around you. No, he said, virtue or power went out of me to heal somebody. Somebody touched me. And the woman goes, it was me. She came up to him and admitted that she got healed. Even though there's a crowd of people here today, the Lord knows your name. Right. He knows your need. And he knows whether you're willing to touch him by faith. Right. You remember Thomas, the disciple called Doubting Thomas. He wasn't there when the Lord had the disciples touch his hands and touch the holes. He wasn't there when they touched the holes in his side. But Thomas said, I won't believe until I touch those holes. And Jesus appeared again and said, okay, Thomas, touch me. Put your hand right in the holes. And he did it. And Thomas goes, my Lord and my God. But Jesus said, there are going to be people, Thomas, that are never going to see me. They're not going to see me on earth. And they're going to believe in me and touch me by faith. And he said, they're blessed. They're going to have their sins forgiven. You want your sins forgiven today. Touch Jesus by simple faith. Reach out and say, Lord, cleanse me, save me. Do it right today. Do it right now. And he will do like he did to that woman. He will cleanse you of your sin. He will heal you by his beatings, by his stripes, you'll be healed. I'm saying this morning, the Lord Jesus is your seeking and saving shepherd, and that relates to him seeking you and saving you personally. He will do it. But secondly, that relates to your being sought pastorally, not just personally, but pastorally. I mentioned this past week, I had a funeral. The lady's name was Kayla Brady, who was saved through my witness, I believe, about 2002, 2003. I told her the good news. She professed to be saved and came to this church, got baptized, and told others about it. And she kept coming because she liked being in the sheepfold here. And as she came, she got blessed. But sadly, like a lot of people have happened before, she began to wander away from the Lord, wander away from the church, wander away from these services. Can I say something to you? If you are one of those that have accepted the Lord, the local New Testament church is your support group. Some people say, well, AA is my support group. Well, AA is a support group if you're in the world but not in the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? AA believes in anything is a God, that you want to be God. But the true support group says, no, the one God and head of the church is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So this is the support group you need to be in. And this girl got away from this church and wandered away. And I always say that when you get saved, you need to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Three to thrive. Some people are half in and half out. Can I tell you a story? I've told this church, you've probably heard it a million times if you've been here, but there was a pastor friend of mine, a young couple came to his church and they got saved by Jesus. They got baptized, they joined the church. They got excited about it. They were there Sunday morning. They came back Sunday evening. They came back on Wednesday. They were a good-looking young couple. He really liked to see them. And then he noticed, after a while, they started not coming on Wednesday certain nights. They would then come back and then miss out again. And then come back and then miss out again. They were in and they were out on Wednesday. Then pretty soon they didn't come on Wednesday at all. Well, they were still there Sunday morning and Sunday evening, Brother Bruce. So he watched them, and they started not coming on Sunday night on certain nights, maybe once in a while. And then they missed, and then they would be there for two and miss for one, and then gradually they'd be there one, miss two, and then gradually no more on Sunday night at all. They were gone. They were gone. But they were still there on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. And then they'd miss a Sunday morning. And then they'd come back and miss a Sunday morning and come back. And pretty soon they missed two and come back. And pretty soon they were not there for weeks and then not at all on Sunday morning. And that's the way it was with this young lady, Kayla, that I just had her funeral at 33 years of age. You see, the Lord seeks for you not only personally to be saved, but pastorally to be fed and to be taken care of. And the pastor friend of mine, he was sad. He sought them but couldn't find them. And some time passed and he got a letter. And the letter was from the state penitentiary. And the man was there and he wrote the letter, the husband of this good-looking couple, and he wrote the pastor, let me tell you a sad story. And he said, it all started when we started missing church. First on Wednesday, then Sunday nights, and then not at all. Well, what happened? He said, we got involved with football. Our son was in football, and we got involved in football, and we were there for all the football games, but we weren't there for church. And we were there, we got involved, and he said it was fun, and we were having a good time, but he said the coach, you know, had a great team and everything. And then he said, one night, I found my wife making out with the coach. And come to find out, his wife was having a, quote, affair with the football coach. Good-looking woman. And he said, I got a gun and I shot them both. Now, my wife told me, if you ever do that, I'll do that to you. So I understand. So I ain't going to do it. But he said, I shot them both and now I'm here for a life sentence in the penitentiary. He said, it all started when we wandered away from church, from the sheepfold. Some of you have wandered away. Perhaps you've been saved, but today God wants you to come back.
Yes.
And stay back.
Amen.
And when I had this funeral, this all came back to me this week, and this is where I got this message. And I had this funeral, and she was a bus kid that lived up in Westside. Then she lived up in Bangor Heights. Had two sisters. There were three sisters that all came, Brianna, Kayla, and Jessie. She loved the church, especially Kayla, but she wandered away. And I felt regret when I heard that at 33 she'd just passed away. And I felt regret that somehow I was not able to bring her back. You know what? I feel regret when I see some of you wandering away. I see regret when I realize you have the opportunity to have a fruitful, productive life. That you could be part of the leadership of a great work. And you could get a well done from the Lord. But you begin to wander away. And I feel that regret that I felt at Kayla's, hearing about Kayla, and I felt bad. And I feel like she could have prolonged her life. She could have had a fruitful life, a blessed life. I believe she was saved. Her sins were forgiven, but her life didn't measure up. And she died young at 33 years of age. The Lord Jesus, I'm saying, is seeking, and he's a saving shepherd, and that relates to you personally needing to be saved, and it also relates to you being sought pastorally, and finally, that relates to some of you being sent home early to your heavenly pastor. Kayla was sent home early. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That means die early. Now, I told you about my little dog Gunner. Remember him? He never learned to stop running. I had him for a number of years, and he never learned to stop running. And one day, we had a Memorial Day church picnic out at Lackawanna State Park, like we're planning to do this year. I came back from the picnic, and we have our evening service in the afternoon, so it was over for the day, and I was tired, as I get to be on Sunday, and I went to take a nap, and while I took a nap, Gunner got loose, and he was running. I was awakened from the nap by a knock at the door. My wife actually got the door. I was napping, and she came in and said, "There's somebody at the door for you." I got up, I got to the door, and so many times I'd found Gunner and brought him back. But it was a father and a son. The father had the son driving, and apparently Gunner was going down the road there near our house. And he kind of turns his head as he's running down the side of the road and turns his head. And the boy was a driver, a young driver, you know. And he hit him and spun him around. And he said, "The dog is on the street." Well, I ran out the door. I'm running to the dog, you know. I'm running down the street trying to find the dog. Finally, I found him down the street, crowded, gathered around. And he's just kind of twitching. I said, "I'll call the vet and try to rescue him." But before a vet could get there, he died. I put him on a board. I brought him back to the house. I dug a hole in the ground. I put him in the hole. I got his bag of treats out, and I went, "Treat!" No response. Dropped the treat in there, tears coming down the eyes, buried him. My daughter, who gave me that dog when she got married, she came and comforted me for a whole day, but I felt it. It was painful. I came to love that crazy little mutt. He was a purebred, actually a pug, but he was dead. And it's sad when that happens to a dog, but it's sad when that happens in the church. When that happens to a young person. When that happens to somebody you led to the Lord. And you're not here half the time. You're half in and you're half out. That's no way to live. And I read the scripture here, and here's what the Lord says. He said, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home," it says, "he calleth his friends and neighbors, and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." You know what? I preached this at Kayla's funeral. I believe she was saved. I believe she got away from the church family and the shepherd. I'm an under shepherd. Got away from the under shepherd. Wasn't able to find her, felt regret. But I believe the good shepherd, the heavenly shepherd, found her. And he saw her wandering away and in a mess. And he said, And her sister found her face down in her house. And the good shepherd said, I'm going to take her home. She's not been to church like she should be. She's not getting fed the word of God as she should. She's not getting blessed. So I'm putting her on my shoulder. And I'm taking her home to heaven. Early. He sends his angels to do that. And I believe, yeah, there's joy over her being home in heaven. But her little child, 12 years old, is crying on earth. People around her are not seeing Christ and not being helped. And I thank God I'm blessed as a pastor. I have a lot of people in this church that are helping people to get saved. I have workers that are helping people to get saved. And their lives are going to count. Some of you could be workers, but you've been shirkers. Shirkers. You're not even here. What's the three things, Brother Joe? Show up. Number two, work hard. Number three, live right. You're not even showing up. Listen, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to be a good shepherd to say you don't know what you're missing. You're going to wander away, and then your kids are going to get influenced by the world and the school system of this world, and you send your kids into that system, and it's not a school system, it's a globalist brainwashing system. Do you see what's going on out there? Do you get a clue? I'm called to be an under-shepherd. But I'm telling you how the good shepherd feels. Telling you his heart. He's seeking you, first of all, to save you from a devil's hell by putting your faith in him as the one who died and rose again and wants you to be saved. He's seeking you personally, and he'll save you personally. Once you're saved, he seeks for you to be in the fold and be fed, and he seeks you pastorally through his under-shepherds. And finally, he will take you home early to his heavenly home if you don't lock in down here. May God help you to lock in down here. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed.